أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everyone? Alhamdulillah, that's good. Right. So I hope everyone is excited to start today's session. Right. Alhamdulillah. And how is everyone's Ramadan going? Are you able to fast some of the days and read a lot of Quran and pray extra prayers, inshallah? So take benefit of this month, inshallah. It's really important. It's only like once in a year opportunity. So you should pray a lot of nawafil prayer, read Quran, do good deeds. Even if you want to do, you know, do small good deeds. Like whatever you do, it won't be wasted. Even the smallest thing you will do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will count it. So even if you're helping your neighbors, you're helping your mom, your dad, you're helping prepare food, right? Or anything like that, it's a good deed. So do that and I will accept it from all of us, inshallah. Alright, so let's start with our hifz. So today, inshallah, we will be doing from ayah number 13 till ayah number 18 of Surah Naziat. You can open your juz, or if you join Bizaki, you should be able to see the ayahs from there too, inshallah. So when I recite the ayahs, just recite after me, and that way, inshallah, you'll be able to memorize them faster. Okay, so is everyone ready to start? Okay, alhamdulillah. Let's begin now. الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالساحرة فإذا هم بالساهرة فإذا هم بالساهرة هل أتاك حديث موسى هل أتاك حديث موسى هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى Okay, so now let's go back to ayah number 13 and we will recite these ayahs once again and then inshallah we will recite from ayah number 1 after that. So we'll do like two times each ayah now and then inshallah we'll go back from the beginning. Okay, so just repeat after me please. فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالساهرة فإذا هم بالساهرة هل أتاك حديث موسى هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى Okay, so now let's start from eye number one. I'll read each eye one time and you can repeat after me. Okay. والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة قلوب يومئذ واجفة أبصارها خاشعة يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةً قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذًا كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فإذا هم بالساهرة هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى All right, so inshallah we will pause here for our hifz. So now inshallah this week, part of your homework is to, you know, memorize these few ayahs, right? So spend a few minutes and read these ayahs again and again, right? And as I told you guys, there's a lot of benefit from memorizing the Quran or even surahs. So you can read these ayahs in your prayers, right? Or whenever you want to recite Quran, right? So keep yourself busy, especially in Ramadan, since you know that there's a lot of reward, right? So even when you're working or you're doing your homework or anything like that, right? So if you remember, you can even read these ayahs, So you don't have to open the Quran all the time when you have to read Quran. You could just read it like that from your memory. So try to memorize these ayahs. Spend a few minutes each day, right? Maybe after Taraweeh or before Iftar, right? So inshallah, they will benefit you a lot. So now we will move on to our next session, and that is learning about our companions, the companions at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember that there is a great lesson we learn from each companion, right? And we know how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with people, right? And these are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the people who, you know, who spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So now let's move on to our next session, and there are great lessons. So inshallah, we will listen, and then we will move on. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear friends, today we will be learning about a wonderful companion of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is Zayd ibn Thabit. Does this name sound familiar to any of you? If not, then today you will be learning about him. So let's get started. We are in the second year of the Hijrah. Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is buzzing with activity as the Muslims prepare for the long march southwards to Badr. The noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a final inspection of the first army to be mobilized under his leadership to wage jihad against those who had tormented the Muslims for many years, and who are still bent on putting an end to his mission. A youth, not yet 13, walked up to the ranks. He was younger, or possibly slightly longer than his own height. He went up to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and granted him peace, and said, "I dedicate myself to you, Messenger of God. Permit me to be with you and to fight the enemies of God under your banner." The noble Prophet looked at him with admiration and patted his shoulder with loving tenderness. He commended him for his courage, but refused to enlist him because he was still too young. The youth, which was Zayd ibn Thabit, turned and walked away, dejected and sad. As he walked in slow and measured paces, he struck his sword into the ground as a sign of his disappointment. He was denied the honor of accompanying the Prophet on his first campaign. Behind him was his mother, Anwar bin Malik. She felt equally dejected and sad. She had dearly wished to see her young son go with the army of Mujahideen and to be with the Prophet at this most critical time. 1 year later, as preparations were underway for the second encounter with the Quraysh, which took place at Uhud, and it was named the Battle of Uhud, a group of Muslim teenagers bearing arms of various kinds, things like swords, spears, bows, and arrows and shields, approached the Prophet. They were seeking to be enlisted in any capacity in the Muslim ranks. Some of them, like Rafi ibn Khadij and Samura ibn Jundub, who were strong and well-built for their age, and who demonstrated their ability to wrestle and handle weapons, were granted permission by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to join the Muslim forces. Others, like Abdullah ibn Umar and Zayd ibn Thabit, were still considered by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be too young and immature to fight. So Zayd ibn Thabit was rejected again from fighting. He promised, though, to consider them for a later campaign. It was only at the Battle of the Ditch, when Zayd was about 16 years old, that he was at last allowed to bear arms in defense of the Muslim community. Although Zayd was keen to participate in battles, it is not a warrior that he is remembered. After his rejection for the Badr campaign, he accepted the fact that he was in battles. His alert mind turned to other fields of service, which had no connection with age, and which could bring him closer to the upon him. He considered the field of knowledge, and in particular, of memorizing the Qur'an. He mentioned the idea to his mother. She was delighted and immediately made attempts to have his ambition realized. An-Nuwar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, O Messenger of Allah, our son Zayd ibn Thabit has memorized 17 surahs of the Book of Allah and recites them as correctly as they were revealed to you. In addition to that, he is good at reading and writing. It is in this field of service that he desires to be close to you. Listen to him if you will. The Prophet, peace be upon him, listened to Zayd reciting some surahs he had memorized. His recitation was clear and beautiful, and his stops and pauses indicated clearly that he understood well what he recited. The Prophet was pleased. Indeed, he found that Zayd's ability exceeded the commendation he had been given by his relatives. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then set him a task which required intelligence, skill, and persistence. Zayd, learn the writing of the Jews for me, instructed the Prophet. At your command, Messenger of Allah, replied Zayd, who set about learning Hebrew with enthusiasm. He became quite proficient in the language and wrote it for the Prophet when he wanted to communicate with the Jews. Zayd also read and translated from Hebrew when the Jews wrote to the Prophet. The Prophet instructed him to learn Syriac also, and this he did. Zayd thus came to perform the important function of an interpreter for the Prophet in his dealing with non-Arabic speaking peoples. Zayd's enthusiasm and skill were obvious. When the Prophet felt confident of his faithfulness in the discharge of duties and care, precision and understanding with which he carried out tasks, he entrusted Zayd with the weighty responsibility of recording the divine revelation. When any part of the Qur'an was revealed to the Prophet, he often sent for Zayd and instructed him to bring the writing materials, the parchment, the inkpot, and the scapula, and write the revelation. Zayd was not the only one who acted as a scribe for the Prophet. One source has listed that 48 persons who used to write for him. Zayd was very prominent among them. He did not only write, but during the Prophet's time, he collected portions of the Qur'an that were written down by others and arranged these under the supervision of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is reported to have said, We used to compile the Qur'an from small manuscripts in the presence of the Prophet. In this way, Zayd experienced the Qur'an directly from the Prophet himself. It could be said that he grew up with the verses of the Qur'an, understanding well the circumstances surrounding each revelation. He thus became well-versed in the secrets of the Sharia and at an early age gained a well-deserved reputation as a leading scholar among the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the death of the Prophet, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, the task fell on this fortunate young man who specialized in the Qur'an to authenticate the first and most important reference for the Ummah of Muhammad. This became an urgent task. After the wars of apostasy and the Battle of Yamamah, in particular in which a large number of those who had committed the Qur'an to memory perished. This means that most of the people who memorized the Qur'an were killed in this battle. Umar convinced the Khalifa, Abu Bakr, that unless the Qur'an was collected in one manuscript or one book, a large part of it was in danger of being lost. Abu Bakr then summoned Zayd ibn Thabit and said to him, You are an intelligent young man, and we do not suspect you of telling lies or forgetting divine revelation for Allah's messenger. Therefore, look for all parts of the Qur'an in one manuscript or book. Zayd was immediately aware of the weighty responsibility. He later said, By Allah, if Abu Bakr had ordered me to shift one of those mountains from his place, it would not have been harder for me than what he had ordered me concerning the collection of the Qur'an. Zayd finally accepted the task, and according to him, started locating the Qur'anic material and collecting it from parchments, scapula, leaf stalks of date palms, and the memories of men who knew it by heart. It was a painstaking task, and Zayd was careful that not a single error, however slight or unintentional, should creep into the work. When Zayd had completed his task, he left the prepared suhuf, or sheets, with Abu Bakr. Before he died, Abu Bakr left the suhuf with Umar, who in turn left it with his daughter Hafsa. Hafsa, Umm Salama, and Aisha were wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who memorized the Quran during the time of Uthman, by which Islam had spread far and wide. Differences in reading the Quran became obvious. A group of companions of the Prophet, headed by Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, who was then stationed in Iraq, came to Uthman and urged him to save the Muslim Ummah before they differ about the Quran. Uthman obtained the manuscript of the Quran from Hafsa and again summoned the leading authority, who was Zayd ibn Thabit, and some other competent companions to make accurate copies of it. Zayd was put in charge of the operation. He completed the task with the same meticulousness with which he compiled the original suhuf during the time of Abu Bakr. Zayd and his assistants wrote many copies. One of these, Uthman, sent to every Muslim province with the order that all of the Quranic materials, whether written in fragmentary manuscript or whole copies, be burnt. This was important in order to eliminate any variations or differences from the standard text of the Quran. Uthman kept a copy for himself and returned the original manuscript to Hafsa. Zayd ibn Thabit thus became one of the foremost authorities of the Quran. Umar ibn al-Khattab once addressed the Muslims and said, "O people, whoever wants to ask about the Quran, let him go to Zayd ibn Thabit." And so it was that seekers of knowledge from among the companions of the Prophet and the generation who succeeded them, known as the Tabi'un, came far and wide to benefit from his knowledge. When they died, Abu Hurairah said, "Today the scholar of this Ummah has died." When a Muslim holds the Quran and reads it or hears it being recited, surah after surah, ayah after ayah, he should know that he owes a tremendous debt of gratitude and recognition to a truly great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That companion is Zayd ibn Thabit, for helping to preserve for all time to come the book of eternal wisdom. Truly did Allah, the blessed and exalted, say, "Surely we have revealed the book of remembrance, and we shall certainly preserve it." So this was the story of another one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I hope you like the story and share it with your friends. I also hope that whenever you read the Quran, you acknowledge Zayd ibn Thabit because he was the one who compiled the Quran. See you next class. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right, so this session was about our companion Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. So we learned a great lesson from this companion. So even at a young age, remember that you're never too young to, you know, work for the religion, right? Or help people work for the religion. So this companion, right, he wanted to be closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And, you know, we should make sure that we are in a righteous company because it really affects us, right? So if you want to do something for the religion, if you want to teach somebody something, right, or if you want to do anything, you're never too young, right? You can work for the religion. You have whatever ability you have, you can use that for the religion, right? Inshallah. All right, so now let's move on to our next session, and that is the good deed session. Alhamdulillah. So we're going to learn about more good deeds which we can do, especially during this month, and earn more rewards, because that's really, really important, right? Alright. Okay, so inshallah, let's move on. Assalamu alaikum.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمن بالخير ربنا زدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My little friends, I welcome you all to a wonderful series in which we'll learn more and more about Islam, inshallah, and connect ourselves to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for today, inshallah, I'll recite to you a verse from the Quran, and let me see if you recognize it. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. Any guesses to which surah this beautiful verse belongs? Alhamdulillah, yes, you are right. Of course, this is Surah Al-Fatiha, which we recite in our prayer, in our salah, 5 times a day, Alhamdulillah. We all have recited and listened to this verse numerous times until now, isn't it? But have you really pondered over this verse as to what it means, as to what it has hidden treasures in it? And specifically the word Alhamd, what does that mean? So without going into all the details, all the detailed explanation for this word Alhamd, we'll just go on to the explanation of this word as gratitude, shukr. You all must have known and learned many things, but shukr, gratitude, it is one such thing that you need not learn it. It is a feeling, it is an expression of your heart. No one has to teach you gratitude. No one has to teach you to be thankful, to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that feeling which emanates from your heart automatically. Once you start seeing Allah's qudrat, Allah's power, Allah's favors all over you. And did you know gratitude, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being grateful to Him, this is one such deed that we can do at the level of excellence. Because this involves our emotions, our mind, it involves our heart and our mind. And so in gratitude, we put over our emotions, our thoughts, all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Him in the form of gratitude, in the form of thanking Him for every single thing that He has blessed us with. And you know, when truly we are grateful to Allah, this feeling of gratitude not just comes into our heart, but it gets expressed through our tongue and it reflects in our actions. To make it more simple, gratitude does not just stay into your heart. When you are grateful, when you are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start expressing it with your tongue. For example, just let's take a basic example. If someone offers you a glass of water, what do you automatically say? You say thank you, right? So that thank you from your lips, from your tongue, was not just a thank you. It actually felt in your heart. You actually felt grateful, thankful to the person within your heart, and then those words came over your tongue. Similarly, when you start seeing Allah's favors, Allah's innumerable blessings upon you, day and night, when you start experiencing them, in fact not experiencing, realizing them, then you can just not stop your tongue from thanking Him, because you have realized, you have understood the one who has bestowed you with that blessing. And then what you start doing is put your gratitude into your action by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by following His commands, and this is the way you can truly thank Him. Let me just give you an example. If your mother asks you to do the dishes or get her a glass of water or help your little sister, and you just keep on saying, Mama, I love you, Mama, I love you, so do you think would that be sufficient? If you just keep on saying her I love you and make her believe that you really love her, is that enough? No, it is not, because when you don't obey her, when you don't listen to her, then that means that you truly do not love her. Because what we do, what we act upon, is a reflection of what we think. Okay? Similarly, if we just thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our lips, saying thank you Allah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, that would not be sufficient, because you are not doing anything in action to show your gratitude, your love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, gratitude is something that is not just restricted to the heart. It is not just the act of the heart. It actually is the act of the heart, the tongue, and it is reflected in your actions, in your ways, in your behavior. Now let's get on to the point of how to develop this attitude of gratitude. When we ponder over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon us, that is the way we can increase more and more in gratitude towards Him. Because when you don't even realize, when you don't even look upon yourself, and when you don't try even count the favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when you think deeply, when you actually develop the eye to see Allah's favors, Allah's blessings all around you, it is then when you realize its importance in your life. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran? What Allah mentioned in the Quran? He says in Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 7, and remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I'll surely increase you in favor. But if you deny, indeed, my punishment is severe. How wonderful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I'll surely increase you in favor. Who amongst us would not like our favors to be increased, our blessings to be multiplied? We all would love to, right? So the key to that is gratefulness. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase us even more. In the favor that He has already blessed, He'll increase us. So inshallah, in the next session, we'll go on pondering upon different blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can increase in gratitude towards Him, inshallah. And before we conclude today's session, I have a wonderful dua to share with you. That is in the morning and evening azkar as well. The dua goes like this. Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik faminka wahdaka la sharika lak falaka alhamdu wa laka ash-shukr. The translation for this is, O Allah, whatever blessing has been received by me or anyone of your creation is from you alone. You have no partner. All praise is for you and thanks is to you. Subhanallah, what a wonderful dua. And you know, whoever recites this in the morning has completed his obligation to thank Allah for that day. And whoever says it in the evening has completed his obligation for that night. Subhanallah. This is an Abu Dawud and An-Nisa'i. So that is such a beautiful dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, alhamdulillah. So we need to inshallah inculcate this habit of reciting the morning and evening azkar, and especially because today you have learned about shukr, inshallah, you'll include this dua from today onwards, inshallah, in your morning and evening azkar, okay? And when you are reciting it in the morning, you will say, Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin, and the rest like that. And when you say this in the evening, you should say, Allahumma ma amsa bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin, alright? Inshallah, we'll try to share this dua along with this translation on your website so that you can benefit and inshallah memorize it right from there. Nextly, there's a beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I would like to share in regards to shukr, in regards to gratefulness, and that is frustration of gratefulness. This is such a wonderful thing. I really love this so much. Sajdat al-shukr is prescribed for anything that makes one happy, whether it is attaining some benefit or warding off some harm. The evidence for this is to be found in the ahadith and asar reports. Among the ahadith is the hadith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard any news that made him glad, he would fall down prostrating to Allah, may he be exalted. Subhanallah. You see, this sunnah is often neglected or forgotten. So inshallah, we need to revive this sunnah of sajdat al-shukr, the prostration of gratefulness. What you need to do is simply prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything that makes you happy, whether it is attaining some benefit or warding off some harm. So what you need to do is, according to some scholars, they say wudu and takbir is required. And some say that only first takbir is required, that is just saying Allahu Akbar and falling down in prostration. Now, in the sajda, in the prostration, you can simply recite this dua, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, glory be to my Lord Most High. And then Allahumma laka sajadtu wa bika amantu wa laka aslamtu sajada wajhiya lilladhi khalaqahu wa sawwarahu wa shaqqa sam'ahu wa basarahu tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. O Allah, unto you I prostrate, in you I believe, and to you I submit. My face is prostrated to the one who created and formed it and gave it hearing and sight. Blessed be Allah, the best of creators. Subhanallah. Such a wonderful dua. You can see gratitude, shukr in this dua. This dua is full of shukr. It's drenched with gratefulness because it shows the slave of Allah immersed in humbleness, humbly submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him from the bottom of His heart. Subhanallah, what a wonderful dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the same, just memorize this. Inshallah, we'll try to put it up on their website. Benefit from both of these du'as, thrice these du'as, at least over this weekend, inshallah, because there are such wonderful du'as that will benefit you, and they are very simple as well. If you keep in mind the meaning, the translation, then you will find it very easy to memorize. And when you actually know the translation, you will feel, you will internalize its meaning while you're reciting it, alhamdulillah. So I hope this session was beneficial, inshallah. We'll continue the topic of shukr, gratefulness, in the next session, inshallah, with much more to learn and ponder over. You can do an activity with these two du'as by noting them on a paper, by writing them beautifully with your own little hands and decorating it. Because not everyone might be knowing of these du'as, right? The former du'a that I mentioned was in the morning and evening azkar, and the next du'a was while doing sujood, prostration. So not everyone might be familiar with this dua, but when you actually make it with your own beautiful hands on a card paper or a chart paper, beautifully decorating it, inshallah, that would be really attractive for others to learn and benefit. Because when you actually put up such handouts in your home, over the fridge or a table or anything of that sort, then inshallah, it will grab everyone's attention, and whoever will learn this dua, by looking at it, you will be, inshallah, sharing the reward for that. And indeed, it will serve as a reminder for you as well. So, inshallah, I hope you all will do this activity. And please do email us your activity so that we can share it on the website. And it can be a source of motivation, inshallah, for others as well. Barakumullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us thank Him in the best of ways and be grateful to Him always for His blessings. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alright. So mashallah, that was an amazing session, right? Alhamdulillah, we learned a lot of new things from the sister. And, she told us about being grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many favors, right? And we can never, never count the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, right? And why can't we count the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us? And the reason to that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much, so much, that we can't count them at all, right? All of the hands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, right? The nose, right, the ears, the face, the body, every single thing, right? So we can never count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, even in this world, when somebody gives us something, we're like, you know, thank you, right? It's the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much, so why wouldn't we be grateful to Him? Okay, so inshallah, look at things around you, right? Go outside, ponder upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful to Him. Okay, so now let's move on to our next session, probably the most favorite session for all of you, and it's story time. Right? So I hope you guys enjoyed the story. It's a really important story, and it also has many great lessons for us. So inshallah, let's listen to the story, and I'll see you after that. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Blueberries for breakfast.
Once upon a time, in deep thick woods, there was an oak tree. In the valley of Aden, cherries always grew in that old oak tree. Every morning, Hafsa would travel very far to pick a bowl of cherries from the oak tree. Then she would take this bowl of cherries to Median. But instead of taking them home to Hafsa, she would hide them under some rocks. Then she would quietly go home and pretend to be asleep.
Ummi, wake up! I want some cherries for breakfast.
Hafsa would say, pulling her mother from sleep. Hafsa and her mother got ready to go out to look for some cherries.
Hafsa, what's the dua say before we go outside?
Bismillah. توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله with the name of Allah توكلت على الله we put our trust in Allah ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله there's no might or power except with Allah.
Once outside, Hafsa started looking for cherries. She looked here, she looked there, she looked everywhere, but she could not find them anywhere.
Ummi, I can't find cherries anywhere.
Okay, try looking under those rocks.
Hafsa found the cherries under the rocks.
How did you know they were there, Ummi?
Well, didn't we make dua when we left home? We said, Tawakkaltu ala Allah. We have placed our trust in Allah. And do you know how to put your trust in Allah, Hafsa?
I never really thought about that. How do we put our trust in Allah, Ummi?
To put one's trust in Allah is like what birds do every morning. They rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then they go out looking for food. And Allah makes them come back home in the evening with a full belly. So we must do our part in making the effort and then put our trust in Allah. He is the provider, Al-Razzaq.
Next morning again, Hafsa went all the way to the valley of Aden to collect some cherries. When she came back to Median, this time she hid the cherries inside a hole in the ground. Later at home,
Ummi, wake up. Let's go look for some cherries,
said Hafsa as she pulled her mother out of bed.
Hafsa, what is the dua we say when we go out?
Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Bismillah, in the name of Allah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, we put our trust in Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no might or power except with Allah.
Hafsa started looking for cherries. She looked here, she looked there, she looked everywhere, but she could not find the cherries.
I can't find any cherries on me. I even looked behind the rocks, but there are none there.
Said Hafsa, all frustrated.
Have you checked that hole there, Siri?
Finally, Hafsa found the cherries.
How did you know they were here, Ummi?
Allah is Ar-Razzaq. He provides for all of His creation. Did you put your trust in Allah today, Hafsa?
Yes, Ummi. So, Allah will provide for us if we put our trust in Him?
Yes, darling. But you have to do your part by looking for food, and then Allah will provide for you.
Next day, Ummi went to get more cherries, but this time she hid them behind a bush. Later at home, Hafsa woke her mother up, and together they went out looking for cherries.
Hafsa, what is the dua we say when we go out?
Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Bismillah, in the name of Allah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, we put our trust in Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no might or power except with Allah.
Hafsa looked here, she looked there, she looked everywhere, but she couldn't find the cherries anywhere.
Ummi, I can't find any cherries. I looked behind the rocks and in the hole, but I couldn't find anything.
Well, let's see. Have you checked behind the bushes? Maybe you will find something there.
Alhamdulillah, there are some cherries here. But, Ummi, does Allah provide for everyone?
Allah is Ar-Razzaq. He is Ar-Razzaq for every living thing, and He provides for all His creations, from the biggest of whales in the ocean to the tiniest of ants. Even for the creation we know nothing about, He provides for them. He is Ar-Razzaq.
But, Ummi, who provides for Allah?
Okay, so that's a good question. Look, Hafsa. Allah is self-sufficient. He is beyond any need or want. He does not depend on any of His creation. In fact, He has no needs at all. He does not need rizq. He does not need any provision. He does not need anything or anyone. But everything and everyone needs Him.
The following day, when Ummi went to the old oak cherry tree, there were no more cherries. She looked very carefully, but she could not find any cherries.
Oh no! La hawla wa la quwwata. What am I going to do?
Hafsa loves cherries, but there are no more cherries here. Disappointed, she quickly went home and pretended to sleep in her bed before Hafsa could come to wake her up.
Ummi, wake up! Let's go find some cherries!
Said Hafsa as she called her mother. Ummi was worried she didn't find any cherries today. What is she going to tell Hafsa? While she was lost in her thought, Hafsa pulled her out of bed. Pulling her mother along, Hafsa remembered to make the dua on her own without her mother having to remind her.
Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله In the name of Allah توكلت على الله We put our trust in Allah ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله There's no might or power except with Allah
Hafsa said while dragging her mother Hafsa excitedly looked here She looked there She looked everywhere But she could not find any cherries
Oh, me, I can't find cherries anywhere. Why are you crying, Omi? Don't worry, I'll find some cherries. Maybe it's behind the rocks, or inside the hole, or even behind the bush. I mean, there must be somewhere Allah will provide for us today. He is a Razzaq after all.
Ummi was still crying because she knew that Hafsa would not find any cherries today. Seeing her mother cry, Hafsa eagerly jumped into a bush to look for cherries.
SubhanAllah. Blueberries! Look, Ummi, Allah has provided us with breakfast. I found some blueberries today. Allah is our Razzaq, and He provides all of His creation. He will never let us down.
Ummi smiled graciously as she was reminded about Allah by Hafsa. That day, Ummi gave Hafsa a special badge with a Razzaq written on it. On the way home, Ummi said to Hafsa,
"A Razzaq means the provider. You say it now, Hafsa. Ar-Razzaq. Allah is Ar-Razzaq.
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 Good. Ar-Razzaq, the provider, and He provides for all of His creation. Provision can be food, drink, clothes, your house, even your grades at school. Anything that you receive is from Allah."
With this conversation, Hafsa and her mother reached home to enjoy blueberries for breakfast this time.
The end. This incident taught Hafsa to put her trust in Allah. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider who will always provide for her, gave her the natural trust in Ar-Razzaq. Dear children, whatever provision we have are only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He provides for us all the time. Next time you enjoy any blessings, don't forget to remember Ar-Razzaq.
The voice is okay. Okay, is it better now, the voice? Okay, alhamdulillah. Alright, so mashallah, that was an amazing session too. Right, if you want anything, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we as human beings, we want so many things, right? We want a nice house, we want good food, we want a good car, right? We want to live a really good life. And we think we can get all these things from. So know that if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to give you anything. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you want. You don't need money to have a good place, right? Or good food, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides everyone, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given food to everyone, whether people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, right? So we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will give us anything we want, whether it be food or it be anything else, right? And also when we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us more, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learned so many good lessons from today's session, right? Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trust upon Him. If something went wrong way or something happened the way you did not want it to happen, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be good in anything, right? And ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good. Ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want. You don't have to ask the creation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the creation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given other people, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you too, inshallah, right? Okay. Okay, so this week, your homework is to ponder upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, right? Go outside, look at the sky, right? Look at the ground, right? And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Right, and trust upon him. Make dua if you want anything, ask him. And share this with your friends, right? Or with somebody that tell them if you want anything, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tell them something and inshallah you will get the reward for that. And also you have Surah An-Nazi'at, ayah number 13 to ayah number 18 to memorize, inshallah. Okay. Alright, so now we will conclude the class. Jazakallah khair for joining, and I hope that everyone learned something from this session. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.